Jesus lost a major amount of blood during the scourging and the crucifixion. This morning I would like to discuss the significance of the blood of Jesus and what it means to us. Jesus began losing blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke chapter 22, verse 44 states, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground." And this is documented medically. It's called hematidrosis. Jesus bled profusely during the scourging. We remember that his arteries broke open from the beating with leather whips and pieces of lead and bone at the ends. This caused a major blood loss. The skin on his back was torn in ribbons. Imagine this. Torn in ribbons and was still bleeding during the crucifixion. The crown of thorns was placed on his head that caused much bleeding. His hands and feet were pierced with heavy wrought iron nails and bled for 6 hours. Jesus was bleeding from head to foot, and he didn't die quickly. 6 hours on the cross. Jesus was a living, bleeding sacrifice. He died a most awful death. And being co-creator, Jesus knew how intense the suffering would be. And he came to die for us anyway. What a loving God we have. I always say, if that were me, I would have vexed the Father for plan B. But Jesus willingly came, knowing what the suffering was going to be like. Jesus lost a tremendous amount of blood during the scourging and the crucifixion. It wasn't easy for Jesus to shed his blood. His blood didn't drip out of a catheter. His blood was shed because of a most awful, horrendous beating and crucifixion. He must have felt very weak from a major blood loss, yet he never lost sight of his mission, his reason for coming to earth. Jesus remained on the cross, and no power could make him come down from the cross because of his infinite love for us. He had an opportunity for 6 hours to come down from the cross and was even told to do so, but he would not. Matthew 27, verse 42 tells us, "If he be the king of Israel," this is what the people told him, "let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Wow, what a temptation. But Jesus remained on the cross. Why? For us. What happened to the importance of blood sacrifices under the Mosaic law? Through the Mosaic law, God commanded the shedding of an animal's blood for the atonement of sins. We don't perform these sacrifices any longer. Were they not good? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Well, you really don't have to turn to it at this point. I'll read it to you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 states, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Important point. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 states, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." And I read the commentary that states, "The principle of blood atonement is God's divinely ordained remedy for the problem of sin. The scriptures insist that atonement for sin is not possible apart from the shedding of blood. So what happened to these blood sacrifices? Now, if you could turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to read verses 4 to 7. Hebrews chapter 10, and beginning at verse 4, I'll give you a moment to get there. Those online, it's Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 4 to 7. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 4. Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" God accepted sacrifice of bulls and goats, knowing that Jesus was coming. But the blood of animals was not sufficient to wash the soul. There was essentially only one way for sins to be forgiven and for man to be redeemed, and that was through the sacrifice and death of Jesus on the cross. Jesus had to become human and become the sacrifice. He was God's perfect lamb without sin, without blemish, who became the sacrifice for the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future. Imagine the sin load that Jesus bore. The sins of the entire world, past, present, and future. Wow. In the Old Testament, sins were forgiven as if on a credit card. But Jesus came and paid the bill. Only his blood can wash away sin. See, definition of atonement, really, atonement means covering. But Jesus came. He didn't cover sins. Thank you, Jesus. He washed them away. Only his blood can wash away sin. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Do we realize what the blood of Jesus means to us? The sins of our entire life are forgiven. From the hymn, "Since Jesus came into my heart," there's a line that states, "And my sins, which were many, are all washed away." Thank you, Jesus. What does the blood of Jesus mean to us? In an article, the late David Wilkerson states that the blood that flowed at Calvary was not wasted. Listen to this one. "It didn't fall to the ground and disappear. This precious blood was collected into a heavenly fountain. The blood of Jesus was too precious to remain in the ground." The author of another article said that compared to the precious blood of Jesus, the most valuable things of earth, such as silver and gold, are reduced to meaningless, perishable things. The wealth of the entire world cannot compare to the value of the blood of Jesus. What does the blood of Jesus mean to us? In Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 to 23, which I will read to you, it states, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families, and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyers to come in to your house to smite you. Moses instructed the children of Israel to put the blood of a lamb on the lintel and the two doorposts. At midnight, the firstborn of all Egyptians, including cattle, was struck dead. When the destroyers saw the blood of the lamb on the lintel and the doorpost, he did not go into the house, and the firstborn was spared. The blood of a lamb spared the firstborn. Our salvation came through the blood of a lamb. Our salvation was bought through the blood of a lamb, the Lamb Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 7 of the same chapter, he is brought as the lamb to the slaughter. Verse 8, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 11, he shall bear their iniquities. There's another view of the power in the blood of Jesus. He is the only person standing between us and an eternity of torment in hell and the lake of fire. Could we say, thank you, Jesus? Think of it. Think of what I'm saying. He's the only person standing between us and an eternity of torment in hell and the lake of fire. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. The blood of Jesus gives us access to the throne of God. We remember an event in the life of Queen Esther. Queen Esther and all the Jews at Susa had to fast and hope that the king would raise the golden scepter before she could go in and speak and make her plea to him regarding the fate of the Jews, which a man named Haman wanted all the Jews killed. She had to go and make a plea before the king to spare the Jews. She couldn't go in to the king at any time. She could have been killed if he did not accept her appearance before him. Although she was queen, she could have been put to death because she was not summoned by the king. And at this point, she was not summoned by the king. She was taking chances of death, going in before the king and making a plea for the life of the Jews. Now, check this out. When we go to God in the name of Jesus, he raises the golden scepter for us. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. The king would raise the golden scepter if he accepted the presence of Queen Esther. God raises the golden scepter for us. Soon to say, Heavenly Father, I come to you or thank you that I can come to you in the name of Jesus, and the golden scepter goes up. I mean, think of that one. That's heavy. We do not have to fear or fast for we do not have to fast or fear for our lives or wonder if the Lord will hear our petition. From the song Rose-Colored Glasses, there's a line that states, his gaze always passes through rose-colored glasses every time he looks on my heart. In other words, God views us through the blood of Jesus. Therefore, we have access to the throne of God only through the blood of Jesus. Do we realize the tremendous value and the significance of the blood of Jesus in our lives? Someone once wrote, when we consider and honor the blood that makes our access to God possible, demons tremble, the angels snap to attention, and God himself leans forward. I want to read that again. When we consider and honor the blood that makes our access to God possible, demons tremble, the angels snap to attention, and God himself leans forward. You could turn with me, Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 11 to 14. That's Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 11 to 14. Those online, Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 11 to 14. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offers himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? So what's it saying here? Jesus became our high priest and offers his own blood for our sins. By his own blood, he entered the Holy of Holies and gained access for us to enter this most holy place. He entered the Holy of Holies and gained access for us to enter the Holy of Holies. When we come to God in prayer, we say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. At that point, you are in the Holy of Holies in communion with God. We can bring our petitions to God before the mercy seat, and God will hear us because of the blood of Jesus. We can come to the mercy seat in the most holy place only because of the blood that Jesus shed for us. What happened when Jesus expired on the cross? Matthew chapter 7, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Top to bottom, indicating that God himself did the tearing. Of course, if man did, it would have been bottom to top. And the scriptures tell us that the veil was torn from top to bottom, indicating that God did the tearing. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron your brother, that he come not at all times into the Holy of Holies within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. But through the sacrifice of Jesus, we have access to this most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, where we could have communion with God. We have access to this most holy place, and we do not have to fear dying because of the blood of Jesus. We can bring all our cares and problems to him, whatever is bothering us. Now remember the colors of the veil. Crimson, representing blood, purple signifying death, and blue representing royalty. What does that tell us? Only through the blood and death of a king, the King of Kings, could we pass the veil and be in the presence of God. That's why I've mentioned the line before our inspirational thought for this morning. I found the way through the blood, past the veil, to the Holy of Holies with God. Thank you, Jesus. The blood of Jesus protects us from all the destructive powers of Satan. In his book, The Power of the Blood of Jesus, Andrew Murray states that the blood destroyed the power of death, the devil, and hell. We have victory through the blood. You can read in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, it tells us that Michael and his angels overcame Satan by the blood of Jesus. Demons can't handle the mentioning of the blood of Jesus. They can't handle it. They go ballistic. Satan and his demons are powerless against the blood of Jesus. There is deliverance through the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood to deliver from all sins, habits, addictions. The blood of Jesus can deliver us from the power of Satan. There is healing power in the blood of Jesus. When Jesus was scourged before the crucifixion, his arteries broke open, and as we said earlier, he bled profusely. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 tells us, by his scourging we are healed. The blood of Jesus can heal everything from the common cold to cancer and heart disease. It can heal and wash away conditions such as sorrow, depression, worry, fear. The blood of Jesus can heal all your hurts. The blood of Jesus can do anything. It can even raise the dead. The blood is powerful in the healing of all spiritual conditions also. It can deliver a person from any condition. There is unknown, wonder-working, as we sang, mind-boggling, infinite power in the blood of Jesus. The blood that Jesus willingly and freely shed for us. Why is the blood of Jesus so great, infinitely powerful, and phenomenal? It is the blood of God who became man. The power of the Almighty God is in the blood of Jesus. We have DNA in our blood cells. The DNA in Jesus' blood is God. The power of the Almighty God is in the blood of Jesus. The power in the blood knows no limit and no boundaries. Awesome, indescribable, undefined, unknown, exceedingly abundantly infinite power in the blood of Jesus. This morning, if you have any condition that needs the Lord's attention, physical or spiritual healing, sorrow, depression, release from a condition, financial burden, plead the blood of Jesus over your condition. the solution to every problem, the answer to every need. Victory over every condition is in the blood of Jesus Christ.